toward the end of the week, you know, the stimulus package passed. And there is Bickering and Backering back.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine just what the future will bring. And we need to remind you of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd love to know what you'd like to talk about tonight, and you don't have to talk what I'm going to be talking about at all. In fact, there's just so many different things as you go through the newspapers to talk about. I was reading about a couple of judges in the East, and these judges were judges on a juvenile court, and what they were doing were sending young people to privately owned detention camps and keeping them filled all the time by sending children who never should have gone to these prison camps to these prison camps while they were raking at about $2.5 million, the two judges between them. And they would have these kids with very minor infractions. They would pronounce them guilty. They would take them away in shackles, and that's been 3, maybe 4 or 5 months in these detention camps, and their lives would be ruined, and they'd have this on their record for the rest of their lives. And the judges were doing it for money. Now, of course, when the trial came up, why the judges, they pleaded guilty, and they're going to get about those 87 months. I guess it looked to me like about 7 years in prison for sending all these innocent, we're talking probably several thousand. They sent about 5,000 children to these detention camps, and how many of them were totally innocent, never should have gone, we will never know. And yet they get off with 7 years in prison. Well, after all, they were judges, you know. I mean, we can't treat the elite like we treat the common people, can we? You know, and that they've got all this money. Well, we don't know whether they're ever going to give it back. Probably not. They've got it salted away someplace. And, oh, they won't get their pensions, but don't you worry. They've got a couple of $1 million for sending innocent people to jail. What's happened to our society? And, of course, we've lost our moral foundation. But even more, the courts had sent these judges to prison, you know. Well, the justification for giving such light sentences, after all, they were judges, and it was only money, and it would be very complex to try this, and of course, these people weren't put in prison in shackles like they would have done with O.J. Simpson or somebody else, you know, who I think was caught in a scam, but be that as it may, you know, whenever you get arrested, why, you get shackled, you know, and you're in leg shackles and arm shackles, but not when you're a judge, after all. You're above. You're a very special sort of person. And apparently when they came up with the conviction on these judges, why, I mean, there were people in the audience there in the courtroom who were screaming and saying, why are you giving them special treatment? I mean, they've ruined my child's life. But then, of course, we have different rules for the elite, don't we, here in America? And I think it's a very sad situation, but this is the way that it is. We have certainly people within, well, these people are not part of the, what I call the invisible government. They're just low-level lowlifes who should be sent to prison for the rest of their life. And when a judge violates his oath of office and sends an innocent man to prison, they should be put away for life. And the same thing with the FBI, which has put many people, and I can give you the names of many people, that I know that they put away to prison innocent people. Captain Jeffrey McDonald's been in prison for 25 years, and the government knows that he's innocent. But, and, of course, how do we know that? Well, of course, one of the marshals who took the woman to the prosecutor who admitted she had done it. We actually have copies of the video that Ted Dennison got, where she admits that she was part of the group that killed McDonald's family. but they've kept him in prison to cover up for the Satanists working behind the scenes who killed his wife and his children, and they've done it knowingly. Well, we've got Paul calling from Oklahoma, so let's go to Paul right now. And hi, Paul, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I was just...
Do you have a... What would you like to talk about? Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking about what you had just said about the kids being put in these boot camps. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I read a book online called No Place Left to Hide. I think it's No Place Left to Hide or Run. It's by Human Rights Watch. And it said that most of the rapes, male homosexual rapes, were done by that age group of children that were put into different prisons and camps and stuff like that because of all the stuff they'd seen on TV, you know, and heard about and comedians choking and everything. They assumed that it was just natural to go around and rape. Most of the men in the United States prisons, you know, have most men in the United States prisons have been raped.
And because the thing is, why does the prison authorities allow it? They intentionally allow this sort of thing. They could put a stop to it. I mean, why should we try to stop rapes outside of prison when we allow it and encourage it as a means of punishment and subduing prisoners in our own prisons? Do you realize that in America today, there are 7 million people either in prison, probation, or parole? We have more people per capita in prison. A lot of these are innocent people, and they've sent them to prison intentionally and knowingly. And now, of course, now they're using the DNA. Literally hundreds of people have gotten out, usually black men who've been sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit. So we got a real problem, but it all gets back to this idea of justice, and it has to be based upon Christian precepts, not on winning cases. And when a prosecutor withholds evidence, or as they did with this Ted Stevens, Senator Ted Stevens, and I'm not defending Ted Stevens, he may have done a little hanky-panky there, he filled a government form out wrong, which was this major crime, and they destroyed his career. But the prosecutors withheld evidence, and they distorted evidence, and they got rid of witnesses who because they didn't want them to testify. And those prosecutors could go to prison.
I also wondered if you noticed that Ted Haggard, I just read this recently, Ted Haggard was on the Larry King Live show, and he admits now that in 2006, that he had sex with another 20-year-old male who was a staff worker down there.
Well, I'm not at all surprised, but you see, with homosexuality, there's a tremendous spiritual element. I really believe, of course, that there's a satanic influence that takes over the lives of these people, and lots of times, well, they're just directed by that spirit. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line Wednesday, and we'd love to hear from you. And we've got Paul coming from Oklahoma, and Paul was just saying that he'd heard a program with Larry King. Now, did you actually hear that, or somebody actually tell you that Ted Haggard had admitted to having sex with other people there at the church?
No, this is out of a newspaper, The Globe, February 16, 2009.
Well, I don't know. Why don't you send me the clipping? But I wouldn't be at all surprised. Certainly, the church has admitted the church actually had paid this other fellow with the church to try to keep it quiet. And I mean, I don't think churches should be covering up things either, whether they're Protestant or Catholic. And I think,
well, if you remember, about I think it's like 2 or 3 years ago, a guy came out and said that he had gotten some methamphetamine and was having gay sex with him, and this is again Ted Haggard, who was a millionaire TV evangelist, and what Ted Haggard said was, no, he did not have sex with the male prostitute, but the male prostitute gave him a back massage.
Right, of course, what have
and
to
he
understand.
He said he bought the methamphetamine, but he did not use it.
Well, I think, Paul, what you have to understand is that the tragedy is not about Mr. Haggard and the fact he's ruined his family and destroyed the faith of many Christians, but he was the leader of the National Association of Evangelical Christians with 30 million members. Now, this homosexual man, who I believe was deeply involved in very evil activities and probably dominated by satanic desires, Ted Haggard never would have been in that position if there hadn't been a lot of other people in the hierarchy of the National Association of Evangelicals who were helping him get there. This is how they put their people in key positions every place. And the tragedy is the church has been thoroughly infiltrated, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, and it is all part of the conspiracy against God. Anything else, Paul?
Thank you, sir.
That
was a good show.
Thank you so much.
Well,
let's go to Mark, who's calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. And, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And whatever you'd like to talk about, give us a call, because it's Open Line Wednesday. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great, Dr. Stan. I wanted to get your take on Dresden. I'm a 53-year-old man. Got an MBA, so I've been through some schooling, and to my embarrassment, I just found out about this a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I'm kind of amazed. It appears this was one of the biggest massacres in history, all of history.
Right.
If I've got my facts straight, and yet I never learned about this in school, and, I mean, what I'm being told, and I just want you to confirm this or not, is that essentially the war was over. There was no military need at all to attack this city of 1.2 million inhabitants. And they used this phosphorus, these terrible phosphorus bombs that just burn people, you know, unrelenting. I mean, this stuff gets on you. There's no way you put the fire out. You just burn. And evidently, according to this one thing I'm reading, 500,000 people were burned alive.
Well, I've heard the figure 125,000.
Correct or not?
But it doesn't matter whether it was 125,000 or 500,000. It was totally unnecessary. This was a civilian city. It had no military really significance. It was not a military target. It was an undefended city because the Germans did not believe that the Americans and the British, you know, at that point of the war would actually go out to kill civilians. And that's what it was all about. It was all about killing civilians. But then that's why we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months. And anybody who doubts that, we have a clipping that we got from the Chicago Tribune. They were kind enough to send me. It was actually, I think, the 15th of August of 1945, the day that they signed the peace agreement on the Missouri surrender. But it was talking about how the Japanese had been trying to surrender for 5 to 6 months. And the United States government wouldn't let him surrender, and I know it's true because I spent some time with General Wedemeyer, who was in charge of the military in China, and he told me that at least after the first bomb was dropped, the Japanese were pleading for surrender, and of course he sent the information to Washington, D.C., and they went ahead and dropped the second bomb and killed all those. But you have to understand that we're dealing with organized evil, and when you understand that, so much of this makes sense. And the reason that these wars were fought, in large part, was to create such horror and revulsion that people would then embrace the idea of a world government. That's where the First World War was fought, to bring the United Nations. The Second World War was fought to bring the United Nations. And the Third World War, and I believe it's coming, it's only a matter of time, will be fought to slaughter a large part of the world's population and probably incinerate them with nuclear weapons, and that will bring about then the one world government that these people want. So don't be surprised that you haven't heard of it. There's so much that has been actively suppressed in the United States. I mean, until about 2 years ago, I'd never heard about the Philippine-American War that was fought after the Spanish-American War, where we killed between 500,000 and 2 million Filipinos. Our American troops went over there, and it was like a shooting gallery. And of course, the troops are just done what they're told. I mean, you're told to kill people, you kill people. That's what the military's about, and that's why I could never be a soldier, because somebody else is going to tell you who to kill, and that's the great tragedy. But the average American has never heard of the Philippine-American War. They've never heard of the great starvation in China, where our good friends over there intentionally starved to death between 41 and 44 million people, between 58 and 62, and not a word of it here in the media in the United States. And I was getting started studying this whole thing in 62, and only reading about it a couple of years ago, I suddenly said, yeah, how could they have kept that secret all this time? But of course,
that's right. I read this book by Jasper Becker called Hungry Ghost.
Right. Yeah, wasn't that because they used the figure there of 30 million, but the real figure was probably the 41 to 44 million, which comes from Stephen Mosher's book, A Mother's Ordeal, I think of the title of it. But he talked to the Chinese officials who actually checked it out. But this is the sort of thing we're dealing with. We're dealing with two governments. One, the idealistic government that you and I believe in. The other, the invisible government, controlled by the dark side.
Where are the people in the military that when they get a command to go in and firebomb a city of civilians, that, I mean, why don't they stand up and just say no?
But because when you're in the military, you know, it's all about power. There have been a few people who will. In fact, I spent a weekend about 2 months ago with an Army colonel, chaplain, and he told me when he first got to Vietnam, they went to a briefing, and there was a four-star Air Force general, a four-star Air Force general, who said, "Gentlemen, I'm going to give you your briefing, and I want you to tell you, I'm going home. I will not fight this war. We're not being allowed to win in this war, and I'm going home.
Yeah.
And I'm resigning my commission because it's what we're doing here is wrong." Well, that's not a very good way to open up a meeting on Vietnam, but, of course, what he was saying was absolutely right. But you know, the difficulty is when you come home, how are you going to get the word out? They control the media. They control the television. They control most radio stations. How do you get your message out? And then after you've worked your whole life to get into a position of command, why, you know, it's so hard to give it up. And this colonel was, we're very good friends. I don't want to use his name without his permission, but he was a very good friend with General Westmoreland. And he said he went to see General Westmoreland before he died. And Westmoreland said his greatest, you know, lament was he was never allowed to win the Vietnam War, but he didn't have the courage to give up his command and come home. At least MacArthur did. I give him credit for that. Anything else?
No, but thank you very much. I appreciate your insight.
All right. God bless, and thanks so much for being with us. And let's see, we go to, I think it's Ron in San Pedro, and then we'll get to Mark in Florence, Oregon, and then Kirk in Santa Cruz. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And hi, Ron. Where is San Pedro?
Southern tip of Los Angeles.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was just, one comment, I guess, is, I noticed that a lot of people have taken a look at this past election complete cycle that we've gone through. What I mean by that is the whole primary and all that stuff. And one of the things I noticed is what's very consistent with what you were saying, and I would like to encourage the audience to please take a close look at our Constitution and then take a look at the Communist Manifesto. I actually pulled that up off the Internet, and it was alarming how closely I saw that we were running more in the direction of that manifesto than we were the Constitution.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, basically what they want to do is centralize all power in Washington, D.C. This is why people of great wealth support socialism, because it is a means of circumventing our Constitution. Our founding fathers feared government. They believed, as John Locke had said so well, that government governs best, it governs the least. They wanted to limit the power of government so that people would have liberty. And I'm afraid that the people who control the government today believe in the all-powerful state that will provide for our health and education and welfare and regiment and control us from the cradle to the grave, and that use the wealth of this nation to bring about this one world government. And that's the objective of the dark forces that control our nation today, what I call the invisible government, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. So I share your concern.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you. Well, thanks very much for calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And please help us get the word out. Get people listening. Get the information that's so readily available. Fortunately, we have the Internet. I want you to check everything that I tell you. Make sure it's true. Hi, well, Dr. Stan, and we've got Mark in calling back from Oregon. How, Mark? How are you doing, Mark?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing fine. Great to speak with you. Dr. Stan, you'd open the show to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Double full board. I just very much appreciate you, and I look forward to speaking with you in the near future.
God bless. Thanks very much. And let's go to Kirk, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kirk. How are you doing?
Fine. I've got two things to go over. One, when you were talking to Jim Mars the other day, I think it was you that said that the bombs dropped in Japan were of German manufacture.
No, I did not say that. What he was suggesting was the fact that the Germans had turned over some uranium, highly enriched uranium, to the United States, or plutonium, I'm not sure which it was, but that was how we were able to build the two additional bombs, because we had only had enough for the trial bomb. I do not know that's true.
I see. Okay, another one. On the Philippine War, there are a couple of interesting things that you know, beg answers. One, Aguinaldo and Rizal, who were the leaders of the Philippine movement, were in the Katipunan Society. And the Katipunan Society was Masonic Lodge. So the Philippine side of that war was Masonic. But what's very interesting is a number of the higher officers in the Americans that were over there, like MacArthur's father, were also Masons. Do you know of any studies that have been done on, you know, was this an internal Masonic war?
I don't know. I have no thoughts on it at all. Kirk, first on it, I've never heard of that. It's interesting material, though. I hope maybe you'll get more information and let me know.
Oh, I've been digging for years, but that's all I've got so far.
Okay, fine. Well, you're going to have a lot more than that before we jump to any conclusions. But believe me, of course, there have been many, many conflicts within these various occult groups. I mean, I was just, of course, studying the Battle of Waterloo. Why did Napoleon was deeply involved in the occult. So why did the occult forces that guide Napoleon allow him to be defeated? Well, because the English were involved in the occult too, and of course they used, of course, the fractional reserve system to buy the mercenaries and the weapons that were used against Napoleon's army at Waterloo.
Well, so, Napoleon was funded by the Rothschilds, too.
Well, both sides were funded, as, of course, in the First World War. Why, J.P. Morgan was funding both sides. The Rothschilds were funding both sides. That's how the game is played. You always fund both sides. That way you make more money.
I heard something the other day from a scholar, and I think it was Cecil Rhodes, he said, was a homosexual. Do you know much about that?
I believe he probably was. Everything I've ever read about Cecil Rhodes, and I had the opportunity of spending several weeks back at Georgetown University going to Professor Quigley's papers there, and one of the stories he'd written was about this beautiful princess who wanted, of course, to marry Rhodes because she liked the money, but he would have nothing to do with her, and he didn't have anything to do with women. So you always have to wonder about a man who will have nothing to do with women. In fact, there's a question that many of the people associated with this movement are homosexuals, as is the case today. And, of course, if you look into the background of some of the people in the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers, we know that people in the Bilderbergers have been involved in pedophilia. That's covered in the book Satanic Crimes and, of course, in the four-tape set that we have going into the background of the Bilderbergers. These things are well known in Europe, but very, very poorly understood here. But I believe that there's a large homosexual component going along with this move towards the New World Order, the New World Financial System, and the New World Religion, because it's an effort to destroy belief in Christianity.
Well, it seems that in all of these groups, that pedophilia, homosexuality, and the occult run hand in glove in most of them.
You're absolutely right, Kirk. But people don't really understand that, and our job is to try to get the information out. Try to get people to understand the spiritual forces behind the political and ideological and cultural forces. That's what so many people emphasize, and I understand that. It took me an awful long time to get smart enough to realize that there was something I was missing. I will be eternally grateful to Constance Cumby for introducing me to that X factor that makes it all make sense.
Yeah.
And that's the spiritual component.
Yeah, she's the one that introduced me to her.
Yep. And we're going to have her on, I think, again next week. So we're
looking
forward to having Constance with us.
Do you know what night that'll be?
I really don't know offhand, but she's always very gracious about coming aboard. In fact, I think she enjoys doing her program, and I know I enjoy having her on with us.
Oh, she's great.
Okay, anything else?
No. Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks so very much. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And all of those blinking lights have disappeared except for, I think we lost Don, who was in Flint, Michigan. Don't know what happened to Don, but if you'd like to call back, we'd be glad to talk to him. We have Ray in Santa Cruz waiting. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Don, if you're out there, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you right here on Open Lines Wednesday. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, our number again, 464-8295, and we've got Ray on the line. Hi, Ray, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Yes, well as can be expected out of the
as well as it can be expected. I had somewhat of a stomach pain, but I wanted to talk a little bit. I wanted to get your feelings about the subject of state-sponsored euthanasia. And I was thinking about, you know, the Terri Schiavo case was it was diabolical what they did, but the courts were all in line with it, you know, with her, you know, with the pulling the feeding tube out, you know, and what really distresses me is that there was nobody that the President of the United States wouldn't even, you know, step in.
Why would you think he would step in?
Well,
I mean, why would you think that his brother, Jeb Bush, would step in? You have to understand that at least George and his father and his grandfather all belong to a Luciferian secret society called Skull and Bones. Mm-hmm. And there they pledged, during their pledge, to this figure who simulates Lucifer. You can actually go up on the internet at WilliamHKennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com, and actually see somebody actually risk their lives, and believe me, you are risking your life when you challenge these people, because these people are part of the elite, they're above the law, and as you know, we had two Skull and Bone candidates opposing one another in the phony election in 2004, and even though John Kerry won the election, because of course it was total fraud there in Ohio, where in one precinct with 800 people registered, why there were 1,200 votes for George Bush, but Kerry, who had tens of millions of dollars left over in his campaign fund, he didn't challenge it. The fix was in. He was told he was to go through the actions, and he would be president if it had been a fair election, but it wouldn't have been any different. They're both cut from the same bolt of cloth. They were on a timetable. The other side knows what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to understand that the elections are rigged, our emotions are controlled. Our reality, of course, is created for us.
They opened up the door with the Terri Schiavo case. They opened up the door for legalized euthanasia. It was murder. And
absolutely right.
I've been reading that in 1939, Adolf Hitler authorized euthanasia for the mentally ill and the incurably sick. And
Hold that thought, Ray. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Ray calling, and he's concerned about the Terri Schiavo case, which a few years ago, where they simply killed this woman. She was, of course, she was never been allowed to have alternative therapy, which might very well have helped her. She was not in a persistent vegetative state. What was really so interesting to me, Ray, was when this was on the television every night, they showed pictures of Terri, and she really looked quite healthy as she was being starved. But if you remember, of course, those pictures were not taken at the time when they were starving her to death, as she became dried out, dehydrated, or certainly her lips were swollen, her face was certainly shriveled up. She was shriveling up like a prune.
Oh,
but the picture they showed on television was our reality, and that was the pictures had been taken many months before. So basically, they got the American people to say it's perfectly all right to kill somebody as long as the courts say it's all right.
When
you have courts that don't believe in God and don't believe mm-hmm. God has a plan for an individual, is that every human life, every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, and we don't have the right to say who lives and who dies. The doctors do not have the right.
Right.
The judges do not have the right. That's up to God. It's too bad that we don't have people in America today who fear God, because one day they will.
I wanted to point out, though, one other thing, that during the Third Reich, apparently the Hitler never made a legal law out of euthanasia, but they killed 100,000 people, more than that, 200,000 people, they say, in these asylums throughout Germany, and it was done in secret, and they used carbon monoxide gas for most of it, for the most part. And the thing was that the judges, there was some protest, okay, from a district judge who wrote protest letters to the Reich Justice Minister, his name is Gertner, Franz Gertner, Reich Minister of Justice. And he frankly said it was crassly illegal what they were doing, and Hitler's reply was, you know, Gertner said, well, if you cannot recognize the will of the Fuhrer as a source of the law, as the basis of the law, then you cannot remain a judge.
Well, I think, I don't know if you ever saw Ray. There was a wonderful movie that came out after the Second World War. It was called Judgment in Nuremberg.
I saw it.
And, of course, it was Burt Lancaster and Spencer Tracy. But this judge, who was played by Burt Lancaster, asked to see the prosecutor. The American prosecutor, Spencer Tracy, and he says, you know, you don't understand. I mean, yes, we do. We were violating the law, but we had to do something. Germany was impoverished. We had to unite the people.
Right.
We had to give them hope. And this was done for the betterment of the country. Yes, we allowed them to kill people, but we did this because it was for our country. And of course,
they had to have a sacrificial lamb.
Right, and that's exactly. But you see, the same spiritual forces, the same occult forces, are in America operating today that were operating in Hitler's Germany. And this is what people don't understand. They don't understand the significance of the rat line, where they allowed somewhere between 10 and 60,000 of the most vicious Nazis to be transported to South America with the full help and support of the American CIA and the MI6, and there was thousands of the Nazis to come to America to work on creating new diseases and psychological programs to destroy minds and on this space program. People don't understand that there are powerful spiritual forces that energize men and control their minds and control their souls and control their consciences. And I fear that we have those same forces at work in America today, as America has turned against God and embracing, of course, the occult philosophy. Anything else, Ray?
I want to finish it by saying that there was the Reichsdoctor's leader, his name was Gerhard Wagner. He was all for it. He thought that, you know, it was a good thing, but it should be done in time of war. But they exterminated 200,000 people in Germany, just in Germany itself. They exterminated 200,000 people in the asylums throughout Germany. Now, they did this in secret. It wasn't that people really knew what was happening.
Now, Ray, let me point out that the philosophy was there were certain lives that were not worth living.
Right.
And whether you know it or not, in the recent, of course, stimulus bill that was passed, they put out, I don't know how many billion dollars, to set up a committee that is going to study the idea that we're going to have a committee to decide what treatment will be given to people, because when people get to a certain age, there's no sense spending a lot of money on them and their medical treatment, expensive heart. No, this is true. And basically what they're talking about is there's some lives that are not worth living. It's like deja vu all over again. Check it out on the internet if you have any question. But it's all about rationing access to health care. And when they tell you all these people are out there, they don't have any health care, I will tell you right here in Santa Cruz where you and I live. Right. If you do not, if you have Medicare and you do not have, you know, already have a family doctor, you can't get one because they've cut the payment back to the doctor so much they can't afford to take new Medicare places. That is exactly what they're doing. They're rationing access to health care, and it's only going to get worse. But our job is to let people know and get back to a free system.
Yeah.
When I went into practice in 1960, the office visit was $4. And I will tell you, I was making a lot more money, real money in 1960 when I entered practice than the year I quit practice in 1993 per capita. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I got to go.
Okay, bye-bye. And let's go to Don, who's been hanging on patiently from Flint. Hi, Dan. Don, how are you doing?
Great.
Go ahead.
This is fantastic. I working on this old radio that I fixed up. This thing is probably 1940, and I got you tuned in. It's a phonograph and shortwave radio, and I got your station in. So I was listening to you guys, and man, it's fantastic, your program.
Well, I appreciate so much. I appreciate you saying that, and I hope you'll keep listening and tell everybody back there in Flint about it.
I will. I believe about this one world government, everything that they're conspiring, the Illuminati, the secret societies, things that the United States is doing. You know, we have these senators and congressmen that they're taking God out of everything. We just used to be one nation under God.
Right.
And in the church, school, prayer and school, the military, we didn't promote all this homosexuality and gay marriages. Really, how we've turned our back on God. I really believe what you're saying.
Well, that's what it's all about, Don. There's a conspiracy against God, and that's what it's all about. If you read the scriptures, if you have a Strong's Concordance,
every day.
Look up in the Strong's Concordance the word conspiracy, and it's used over and over again. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. And anybody who calls you saying you believe in conspiracy, just ask them if they believe in the Bible.
And
anyway, at least you'll get their attention. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Just God bless you, and it's wonderful that I got to speak to you, and I've got this old radio working, and I'm just happy as can be.
God bless, and thanks very much. Okay, fine. Well, that's good to have Don as a new listener, and let's go to Susan, who's calling from Freedom, and I think she wants to announce a DVD or a motion picture that's going to be shown here the next week or so. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to get in, give us a call. Hi, Susan. Do you want to announce that movie you're going to be showing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thanks for the opportunity to announce our two free movies that Freedom Forum is showing on March 10th, 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Quaker Church on 225 Rooney Street. It's also called the Santa Cruz Friends Meeting House. And that's the frontage road where Morrissey Boulevard crosses Highway 1.
And what time is it?
It's going to be Tuesday, March 10th at 7 p.m.
And how much is it going to cost?
It's free.
All right, fine. I think that's so important. A lot of people are tight now, but you will accept for donations.
We do. Gratefully, we accept donations.
All right.
And one of the more important purposes for this group is that people can take the microphone and have their voices heard. They can talk about what they'd like to see happen in the community and network with other citizens that are active and sort of turn these ideas that we all have into action.
Amen. I think it's great what you're doing. God bless you. Thanks so much. And I hope you get a great turnout.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's go, of course, to John, who's calling us from Texas. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to John in Texas. What part of Texas is he in, John?
I'm in Beaumont. I was watching NBC News tonight.
Right.
And anyway, I thought it was interesting that instead of talking about how the Mexicans, you know, had threatened the police and the mayor and all that, what they were saying was that all the guns and all these problems in Mexico, that they got all the guns from us here in the United States. Then what they showed is that they had got these AK-47s in Arizona and went across the border from Arizona into Mexico and assassinated a police chief or something.
Well, I don't know anything at all about that. I don't know whether you can just go. You can't buy an automatic weapon in the United States. You have to have a special license for it, and AK-47 is an automatic weapon. So I would be a little reluctant to accept that, but if you can document it, I'd love to get that documentation.
Well, it was on NBC News tonight.
Well, I hope you don't believe what you see on the news.
I just thought it was amazing they were even coming off of that, because what it is they want to control, you know, the gun sales even more, and, you know, they're basically, you know, blaming all that stuff on the United States, you know.
Well, I think, Chris, there's a lot of blame, because the United States has kept the corrupt government in there. In fact, you go back, we carry a book, No God Next Door. We don't sell very many of them, but it goes into the Mexican Revolution, how it was actually backed by the Masons in this country, and they went down there, and they slaughtered the priests and the nuns, and they hung them up from the telephone poles, and we were actually fostering this revolution that overthrew the existing government and set up the government that they have today, where you've got a few billionaires. They have more billionaires in Mexico than they have in all the rest of Central and South America put together. So you have basically an authoritarian structure down there. You have a make-believe government where you have two parties and they're both controlled by the same people. And the average individual down there really has no hope. And now, of course, with the drug gangs, the whole structure of society is beginning to break down. In fact, one of the most dangerous jobs you could have in Mexico today would be the police officer, because, of course, they could very well simply shoot you for no reason at all, just because you're a police officer. One of the highest-ranking military officers in Mexico was actually a retired, taking a job in Cancun there. Were, of course, having to do with security. He and his two bodyguards were kidnapped and taken out and tortured, and then their bodies were dumped, in a prominent place where they'd be found, to strike fear in everybody's heart. And kidnap and torture and kill, and this is within the last week or so, I mean, one of the highest-ranking military officers in Mexico. No one is safe, especially he's got a couple of bodyguards, and there's no way they can stand up against the organized gangs. Let me just put our telephone number out again one more time. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so I share your concern about what's going on down there, but John, I fear that this lawlessness that exists south of the border could very well spread up here. I believe that they have their agent provocateurs planted within the conservative movement and within the liberal movement up here to try to incite our people to violence, and they will carry out all sorts of acts of lawlessness to create this atmosphere. And when we hear Zygmunt Brzezinski, and anybody wants to hear him, he's up on our internet site under other videos. This is a clip. Zygmunt Brzezinski goes on television and talks about the coming lawlessness, the coming class warfare, about the Christie coming breakdown of society in the United States. When you understand that Zygmunt Brzezinski is one of the primary architects of everything going on, you realize, of course, this is exactly what they intend. And then if you read the article, and I reread it today, that Henry Kissinger wrote in the International Herald Tribune, I guess it, or maybe it's just the International Herald, on January the 9th, 2009, entitled A Chance for a New World Order, and he talks about the chaos all over the world. They are fomenting this. They're encouraging it. They want the breakdown of contemporary society. And that, as Henry Kissinger said, if you don't go along with this New World Order, there's going to be chaos. The alternative is chaos, and that's exactly what they want to use to bring about this one world government, one world economic system, one world currency, one world religion, with the destruction of Christianity and Christians, and then, of course, imposing their new world leader, who is Lucifer. Go ahead there, John.
I just thought it was interesting, and that I would, you know, let people know the propaganda they were putting out, you know, because, you really figure they could have got guns from all over the place, you know.
You have to understand. You have to understand that NBC is controlled by General Electric. General Electric fits into this whole banking dynasty. We've got something that was published by the government back in 1936, pointing out how General Motors and General Electric and so many of our major corporations fit into the banking dynasties that controlled our government in 1936 and still control it today. That's the tragedy that most people don't recognize. We have, basically we have three major Rockefeller-controlled banks. They're J.P. Morgan Chase, I was going to say Goldman Sachs, but I don't know really who's called Goldman Sachs, but certainly Citigroup is the other major Rockefeller-controlled bank. And then, of course, you have Bank of America. Originally was the Giannini's, but of course it's primarily controlled by the Rothschilds family today. They held over 60% of the stock. And so these are, and then of course you get into the other banks, Goldman Sachs and certainly Wells Fargo and a few of the others. They all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations. You want the documentation. So they're either controlled by members of the Trilateral Commission. They control Goldman Sachs. J.P. Morgan Chase, they control Citigroup. They control so many of the major financial institutions in the United States. The rest of them are controlled by members of the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers. And who represent America? Tragically, no one.
Take it easy.
Anything else you want to say there, John?
No, I just thought it was pretty interesting and pretty outrageous, actually, and I just figured I'd make it known. You know?
All right, fine. Thank God.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
I mean, they're not trying to stop this cascading foreclosures. I mean, it was almost 5 months ago when Congress voted $700 billion to stop the home foreclosures. And what did Henry Paulson do? Member of the Council on Foreign Relations? Well, he gave about half the money to the banks. He couldn't even give away the rest of it. He ended up with $350 billion left over. But he gives it to the banks. But if he gets to tell them they're supposed to lend it out, so they don't lend it out, and of course things get getting worse, but why didn't he use the other $350,000 to bail out the mortgage foreclosures? It's because they don't want to stop it. And now they're saying, well, but we're going to come up with a plan in a week or two or three, and maybe we'll put up $50 billion, and maybe we'll put up $250 billion. Could it take a long time? And if you look at what they're talking about, they're only going after the Fannie Mae loans, and because they don't want to stop the cascade of home foreclosures. Once you understand that, why everything makes sense. The big banks are in on it too. They're cut back on their loans, or if they're making loans, they're making it at true rates. I know that Southwest Airlines borrowed, $300 million at 10.5% interest. That's usury. There ought to be laws against it, but of course, the big banks, which can borrow money for 0%, can actually leverage that up to 50 times. And yet, of course, they're lending at 10.5%. You know, talk about crass, why that gives them hypocrisy a bad name. But, of course, many of the companies they will not lend anything to. Why? Because they want to destroy the economic system of the world. And believe me, you're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth that's ever taken place. Ben Bernanke would not even tell members of Congress where $2 trillion is gone. If you don't believe it, go up on the internet and Google in Ben Bernanke, $2 trillion. I mean, Bloomberg. Bloomberg's been trying to find out. So understand this is all a massive put on. You need to get my November, December 2008 and January 2009 newsletters. You need to get the information out. You need to get people listening to our programs on a regular basis. You need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami, and the syllabus goes with it. It was about 3 years ago, but everything we said there was true, and it's coming to pass. You need to get my pamphlets on the history of money. That's the history of money and the financial meltdown. They're inexpensive. And then, of course, you need to get the book, The Money Creators. It was actually printed back in 1935. But it was written by Gertrude Coogan with a foreword by Senator Owen, who actually was instrumental in bringing in the Federal Reserve. And by 1935, it was obvious. It was being used to destroy our economy. And of course, this was all about bringing in a fascist society and increasing government control and, of course, transferring the wealth of the people. That's when they took the money away from the people and they gave it to the bankers. Why would they take it away from the people and give it to the bankers? Because then they immediately doubled the price of the gold from $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce. And if you were foolish enough to turn in your gold, you deserve just what you got. And then they doubled the price of silver. And they totally manipulated everything because, of course, Franklin Roosevelt was deeply involved in the occult. And, of course, if you have not yet seen that DVD, which we have, The Eye of the Phoenix, you need to get this. It's so important. The Eye of the Phoenix. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to go ahead and certainly get the other DVDs in the series, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, The DVD, the Riddles in Stone, our interview with Chris Pinto, the Atlantis Connection, our interview with Constance Cumby, the Emergence, and my 4-tape set with Constance Cumby on the Aquarian Conspiracy. That was their term, the New Age term, the occultist term, for their movement to bring in the New World Leader. And, of course, that will be Lucifer himself. So, understand, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And you can get all sorts of information there. Please, please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Nathan Otto, who's written a book. And I believe the book is called Give Peace a Chance. Is that right, Nathan?
No, I'm sorry. It's called Give Peace a Deadline.
It did give peace a deadline. Go right ahead. Well, you tell us, of course, what your views are. Certainly, we've seen so many terrible wars during the 20th century. The First World War, totally senseless. The Second World War lost twice as many people, totally senseless. And then Korea and Vietnam and the First Gulf War and the Second Gulf War and the wars we weren't involved in, so many in Africa and elsewhere, and the continuing wars in Sri Lanka. And so how are we going to give peace a deadline? But you pick up the story.
Well, you're right. 100 million people have died in the last 100 years in war. And at some point, as humanity, it's time for us to create a future different than one based on the past. And so Give Peace a Deadline is an invitation to ordinary people to co-create the future of conflict. And it's our view that we have the tools today to allow ordinary citizens to lead past their governments, talking about the Internet and tools of global collaboration that ordinary citizens can use, in order to really affect the systems that keep war legitimate and keep it serving, you know, the interests that it serves.
What sort of interest does that wars serve? Certainly, do we want to perpetuate war? Or do we want to stop wars?
Well, in a world where the majority of us, you know, want peace and don't support war, it doesn't make sense to have war. So it makes sense to look at those systems that perpetuate them and who benefits from those systems.
All right, fine, go ahead.
Yeah, and so in the end, you know, all of us are hurt, but there are politicians and corporate interests that benefit and profit from war. And they operate in a system that we've inherited in which war is legitimate. And it's our goal to be the voice of reason and the political pressure of reason that creates a world in which war is no longer legitimate, similar to the way that slavery was eliminated, you know, a few hundred years ago. I shouldn't say eliminated, that state-sanctioned institutionalized slavery was abolished.
But of course, it cost us 500,000 or 600,000 lives to have the Civil War and do away with slavery.
Well, England abolished slavery peacefully, and they were much more successful at it, much more successful with the integration afterwards. So
you're absolutely right, and there was no reason for the that. But this is what happened in America, I'm sure you're well. But you go ahead. How are you? Do you hope to accomplish this very idealistic goal? I certainly share your dream, but how could it be done? After all, we simply recently voted in a president who was against war, is going to get our troops out of the Near East, and now we find out he's got to leave a lot of the troops in Iraq and increase the number of troops in Afghanistan, but he can't tell us why we're fighting there. So, I mean, certainly an awful lot of people voted for Obama because he promised, you know, he was going to stop these unnecessary wars. Well, we've got right with us Nathan Otto, and he's written a book called Give Peace a Deadline. He wants to stop war. And hey, certainly I'm old enough, I've seen an awful lot of wars, and I've never been in conflict, but I've been close to people who have been and read their descriptions of it, and I don't want to see another war, and I don't think anybody out there in the audience does, and people don't want wars. It is not the people who are going to fight and bleed and suffer and die who want the wars. It's the people who control the nations, and they're the ones who sit back home and philosophize. And right now, there some people are even saying, we've got to go to war with Iran. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, Nathan, you pick up this story. What are we going to do? I mean, we've seen so many people rallied behind Barack Obama saying he was going to get us out of wars, and now he's increasing the number of troops in Afghanistan.
Well, yes, it's time for us to, as I said earlier, lead past our governments. And we live in an age where we have the possibility of access to information and action that actually creates international pressure and creates the kind of change that we all want to have without waiting for our governments. I'll give you one example if you like. The United States promised to destroy its chemical weapons, and they estimate it'll cost about $1 billion to destroy the weapons under this treaty that they signed, whose name I can't remember in this moment. And we haven't kept our word. We haven't destroyed the weapons. We haven't spent the money to do it. Now, it's very much in our interest, and it's very much in the interest of the world that we destroy these weapons. So as ordinary citizens, we can insist to those who are supposed to destroy the weapons that they destroy them. And what's new is that we have access to the information. We know who's responsible. It's not just a matter of voting for the right guy and then hoping that he does the right thing. We can get much more specific and fine-grained about what we insist our governments do and what we do personally to ensure that every person on our planet is safe from war, which is the only way that all of us can be safe going into the future.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but all we have to do is look and see what happened here. It was just last September when they were going to come through with the so-called TARP legislation, and you know the calls were running 99-1 or maybe even 100% to 1 against the TARP legislation. There was a great furor across America. But the legislation passed. I mean, certainly the powers that be, you know, added $150 billion in bribes between Monday and Friday of that week, so that on October 3rd, 55 congressmen switched their votes, and I figured at a cost of about $2.5 billion a congressman, and they got the legislation through even though the people of America were incensed. But once it got through, nobody seems to care anymore. And so how do we influence our congressmen when they can be purchased with our own tax money? And $2.5 billion a vote is, I think they would have spent $5 billion a vote to get the legislation through that they wanted. How do we get the congressmen to act morally and responsibly?
Well, as soon as we realize as people how much power that we have as individuals, then we can begin to influence what we want. It's like you said that, you know, people didn't care about the TARP legislation, and so the Congress and the government allowed it to happen. So what we're doing with...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Nathan Otto. His book, Give Peace a Deadline, and he thinks that we can actually influence our legislators, and I simply pointed out that certainly for the TARP legislation passed October 3rd, they actually introduced it, I think, on the 30th of September on a Monday, and then, of course, when the Christian went down to defeat, because the calls were coming in 99% to 100% against the TARP legislation and transferring a tremendous amount of money to Wall Street. Why, of course, then they bribed the senators. They added $150 billion to the legislation, and they got 55 votes. That's about $2.5 billion a vote, I figured. So certainly the congressman simply sold their souls for $2.5 billion, supposedly, for projects for their local community. But when they have that sort of power, Nathan, how can we possibly influence the congressmen who know that they infuriated the people and yet most of them got voted back into office, even though they did exactly the wrong thing and they simply transferred the money from the poor people in our country to the rich people in our country?
Well, if they got voted back into office, then it's a little hard to argue that the people were infuriated. If we look at the times when people are actually infuriated, then political change occurs. And it's our contention or our argument that we're in a time now of crisis where great change can occur. If you look at the demographers William Howe and Neil Strauss, who wrote a book called The Fourth Turning, they argue for a cycle of history in which there's four cycles, and one of them's a crisis. There's a moment in each generation when we can alter our arrangements and our institutions and our social contract, and this is one of those open moments, a crisis like this. So this is a time when people can step in, say what they want, say what needs to change. I heard a newscaster on Fox News yesterday saying, I don't know what's going to happen. He was kind of hysterical. The world is falling apart. The nation state no longer works. The financial system is in disarray. What's going to happen? Where should I look? Who? And the answer is you and me. And you know, we say what we want to have happen, and we put it into a fluid moment like this, and we can have great change, like delegitimizing war, like delegitimizing slavery in the past.
All right. I hope and pray that we're going to see dramatic changes as a result of the crisis. There's no question. We are moving into the greatest crisis that I've ever seen. How old are you, Nathan?
I'm 43.
All right, fine. Well, I'm almost twice as old as you are. I just had my 80th birthday. And I appreciate your idealism, and I agree with you. This is an opportunity. Certainly Henry Kissinger, writing in the International Herald Tribune on the January 9th, talked about how what is going on, the crisis throughout the world, is an opportunity to change the world. I think that he's absolutely right. Only he wants to change it differently than I think you and I want to change it. You and I would like to get away from war, would like to get away from strife, would like to have people be free. But I don't think, of course, the elite really feel that way. They have a different worldview, a different world set. But go right ahead. How are we going to mobilize people across America to get involved, to stop watching the NBA and to stop watching football and stop watching baseball and stop watching the sitcoms on television, you know, the Amazing Race and things like that, and realize the implications of what's happening socially and monetarily and spiritually in our world? How do we motivate people really to get involved? I share your concern. I share your idealism. I just wonder how we're going to accomplish it.
Thank you. In the past, it's been very hard for people to participate in international affairs. You had to be a diplomat or a leader or be connected somehow. But at P5Y, that's our website, p5y.org, and in our book, we describe and we commit to making peace user-friendly, or making the future of conflict or this change that we want to create user-friendly. And what that means is that by registering on this website, anybody, without disturbing the rhythm of their normal life or even stopping watching football, can commit to, say, 1 hour per week when they can know that they're doing some effective action. Make a phone call, have a meeting and tell other people about it. That's the most important thing this year. Make a connection with the government. Make a connection with another country. We've got experts designing even as we speak, the exact actions that will have the influence on the systems that we're trying to influence, the systems of global commerce and diplomacy and the systems of citizen participation.
Now, if I want to know what are these actions that should be taken, what do we do to preserve jobs in America? What do we do to get our economy working? What do we do, of course, to wrench control of our government from the elite who controlled it today, who plunged our nation into war after war after war after war during the 20th century? The same forces are in power. Today they were in power at the beginning of the last century.
Well, I agree. This is intolerable. We don't want this to continue. So now today we have these tools of information and action that we can do. So you asked for, specific actions. So, for instance, recently the United States envoy to the Security Council voted against a ceasefire in Gaza during that action that Israel was taking. Many Americans wanted us to vote for a ceasefire in Gaza. Well, in the past, there's been no way to communicate with our envoy. He's an appointee. He has no accountability. But today, we can take the action of sending him an email. We can make a phone call. We can use the electronic means of communication to make our opinion known directly to the person. Even though they're not elected representative, it's human nature for them to respond. That's one example. And there's many examples.
But do you think, right now, I think that there is an increasing evidence that there's a plan to take us into a war with Iran. I mean, I'm getting books all the time telling me how terrible the Muslims are, and it's part of the conditioning process to make us hate the Muslims. We've got to hate the Muslims, and again, we've got to get them to hate us if we're going to have a war. We had a program on this network just shortly before I came on, where there was a gentleman who I think represents the Mossad coming on and saying there's going to be a war with Iran. And of course, so much of what's going on today, is just demonizing the Iranians and demonizing the Muslims as a whole and telling us how terrible they are. And my concern is that, they control the mass media. How do we reach the average individual? You and I know there's a problem. The last thing I think you or I want is a massive war, and I fear it'll be a nuclear war with Iran. And yet, how do we get the people to understand they have to be involved? Well, I can say it. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, Nathan, and I maybe reach 100,000 people a week, but that's only a drop in the bucket. When the people who control ABC and CBS and NBC and CBC can reach millions, tens, hundreds of millions, at any moment of the day.
So to answer your question about the media, the what we can realize today is what you just said. We are the media, much more than in the past, and the traditional propaganda tools are fracturing. I mean, the tools that the Nazis used to brainwash the German population, those aren't available anymore in the way that they were. There's far more fragmentation, and it's accelerating at a great rate. People are tired. News watching is decreasing. Mass media is still powerful, but the trend is in the favor of people like you and me who can speak out reasonably. That's one thing I'd say. The other is the P5Y has an entire chapter in our book, Give Peace a Deadline, an entire chapter on the media and how to target the media as a system such that the message starts to shift, such that there's a message of, wait a minute, here's a new language to talk about the future of conflict. Here's a way to say, oh, this is how we've done it in the past, but that doesn't have to be how it is. Here's a message of how corporations can make money when there's peace, which is a powerful one. Here's how consumers can influence corporations who influence governments. Finding the leverage points in the system is what we're doing. We've got a whole strategic team in New York City that's analyzing exactly each system and where's the leverage point and what is the action that the ordinary person can take.
Well, now, where's the money coming from for this? Because it takes money to hire a team, to get resources. I agree with you. I think we have a wonderful opportunity. I think the Internet is something that is certainly a two-edged sword, but it can be a blessing as well as a curse, although there certainly are people up there who are putting out disinformation, but the use of YouTube, the ability to watch programs or videos on Google, one of the most exciting. So I agree with you, but where is your organization getting the funding from?
I'll tell you, I'm funding this initially, and we have a funding initiative that's speaking to the major foundations for peace. talking like to the Gates Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation and the Onassis Foundation. These big charitable foundations are very interested in what's effective in actually affecting the system towards a future of conflict in which we're all safe from the danger of war.
Well, have you been able to get any grants from, say, something like the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace or the Gates Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie, or the other the Ford Foundation? Have they come up with any money now to push this concept of a deadline for peace?
It's a great question, and the answer is that we haven't presented this to...
Are you there? Well, I'm going to have to, I don't know, I hope we didn't lose our guest. Perhaps we could get our producer out here. So, can you hear me at all, Nathan?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, you're going. Go ahead, right ahead.
Okay. In the past year, my partner Amber Lupton and I have gone around the world talking to people as diverse as Madeleine Albright and Paul Wolfowitz and the prime ministers and presidents of many of the smaller countries, the mostly ex-prime ministers, and asking them, you know, what is required to create peace. And so we've got a very strategic approach from the top down, and then from the bottom up, it's about taking that information, packaging it up, packaging up very easy-to-use tools for people to act on the information that we have of what actually creates peace.
What did Madeleine Albright tell you about having peace? I mean, how did she suggest that we bring about world peace?
Well, Madeleine Albright suggested ways to support diplomatic efforts that weren't receiving support. And she described some of those efforts in Sri Lanka and East Timor and Myanmar and Darfur, and how our international system was undermining, you know, the success of resolving those conflicts and bringing them into a place where those people could start to be healed.
Oh, that's it. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got, of course, Nathan Otto talking about...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
For Liberty or 464-8295, but Nathan is talking about establishing, you know, sort of think tanks to try to lay out a plan. And do you have a fairly good plan now? Certainly you're trying to reach the people and motivate them, and I agree we have to. I just hope you're more successful than I am. I've been trying for 46 years, but at least now we have more of a voice than we've ever had before. And so certainly we sympathize totally with your effort to awaken the people to realize that another major conflict, especially with the terrible weapons that are available, and we're talking about chemical weapons, we're talking about biological weapons, we're talking about nuclear weapons, and of course the nuclear technology is being disseminated all throughout the world, I fear, for, of course, in preparation for this coming terrible, terrible war. And Nathan's trying to hold it off, stave that off, and I'm right behind him. So you pick the story up, Nathan.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Doctor. One of the biggest myths of war that we've bought through our propaganda is that war is fought between trained soldiers, when in fact it's fought and it hurts everyone. And what you just described, those terrible weapons of bioterror and chemical and nuclear, those weapons are becoming packaged in more and more convenient and usable ways, and there's new weapons of nano and cyber that are becoming available. And the trend is that fewer and fewer and more anonymous people can control greater destructive power. So the future we're looking at, if we don't create a world in which war is not a political option, if we do not create that world, then we will suffer horribly and perhaps perish as a species, as much as I don't want to say that. So our motivation is very high because our default future is pretty grim.
Well, I agree with you totally. In fact, it was so interesting. I think it was just today or yesterday I was hearing that one of the representatives of Obama, whether it was the Secretary of the Interior, whoever it was just saying probably the Interior, because they're the ones responsible for checking all the cargo coming into the United States, and of course these massive crates they have coming in. And as she was saying, that it would not be at least until 2012, the year 2012 or later, before we would really be able to check all of these crates coming in for nuclear and chemical and biological warfare. And so that means we've got about 3 years before, at the earliest, before they'd be able to stop the terrorists from bringing in these weapons that could destroy millions of Americans. And I'm wondering, you know, here we are, the war on terror began in 2001, we're in 2009, they tell us, even after all these years, after 8 years, why we still don't know how to check, you know, the things that are coming in into our ports. I would think the simplest thing to do would be to just open them all up and check them out, but oh, we can't do that. And I wonder if they really are trying to stop those weapons from coming in, because I really fear that there is going to be a major terrorist attack on America, and that will be used in one way or another to foment the coming war, and they'll get the people all riled up, and they'll say they did it, or they did it, and we've got the definite proof. It was Ahmadinejad, President Ahmadinejad. We know that he's behind this, and so that's why we've got to attack Iran, or something as foolish as that, you know, just like we know it was Osama bin Laden. of course, who did all of this, but that's why we, of course, helped Osama bin Laden's family to get out of the country so there wouldn't be any repercussions against him, and why we didn't try to catch him in Afghanistan, why we let him escape into Pakistan, but we're still fighting in Afghanistan because of Osama bin Laden, but we've never attacked Pakistan, and so many of these things really don't make sense, and I share your concern. But how are we going to really, what are the plans that you have to reach the average individual? The internet is great, but most of these people are cursed on Obama's, email list, and he's got a phenomenal email ability to contact people up by email. And of course, they'll follow him. And if he says we've got to go to war with Pakistan or Iran, they'll follow him. I mean, he's a wonderful communicator. He's charismatic. And when the president tells you why it was Ahmadinejad, or I don't care who what he says, was responsible for this terrorist attack, don't you think that an awful lot of Americans go right along with him?
I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the question came up in what you were talking about, and how do we inoculate ourselves against incitement? Incitement is what we call a violation of peace safety. We're defining peace as the practices that keep us safe from war. You know, peace is the science of how to have conflict without killing each other. So how do we inoculate ourselves against incitement?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Nathan. Otto, we're talking about how do we immunize ourselves against excitement, against being manipulated by the mass media and our political leaders to go into war, as we were, of course, during the First World War. They were manipulated to go into that war. We were manipulated going to the end of the Second World War. We were manipulated in going into the Korean War. We were manipulated in going into the Vietnam War with the Gulf of Tonkin and the First Gulf War. I mean, that was the wicked Saddam Hussein who checked with us before he attacked Kuwait, but because he did what we told him to do, then we had to go to war, and after all, everybody knows about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's why we had to go and kill all those people to protect them from the wicked, Saddam Hussein had killed so many people. But how do we immunize ourselves? What do we do, Nathan? That's what I want to know.
We immunize ourselves through our conversations, the conversations that we have with each other, and we propagate conversations like you and I are doing right now that help people understand what is the mechanism that incites people to follow leaders into war. And the hope, if you study the new generation that's coming up, that's in their early 20s now, called the NET generation, they're extremely skeptical of any information they're given because they've grown up in a world where half of what they read on the internet turns out to be wrong. And we all hate to be wrong. So they've trained themselves to be skeptical, to verify information, and to be very wary of the various manipulations that marketers and government use. So I think we have a generation that, instead of being harvested as the cannon fodder of the next war, can be employed and collaborative to create the next generation of peace. And you may call me idealistic, but I'm looking at some very hard data. For instance, this book, The Net Generation, that I read recently.
Now, Robert, just go ahead and develop these ideas. I think they're fascinating.
Well, the Net Generation is bigger than the Boomer Generation. It's extremely social and volunteering. They consider email outdated. They use Twitter and Facebook and texting and multimedia exchanges on their phones. This is how they communicate normally. And they organize themselves this way. I went to an event in Los Angeles recently called a tweet-up, which is based on this communication service called Twitter. And there were probably 1,000 people there. And it was all based on this little interesting communication device. And they were there really for a social cause. That was the underlying theme of the event. And so we've got a generation has strong information filters, very independent thinking, highly communicative, highly cooperative, and if we can enable them...
Hold that thought, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, This is Dr. Stan, and Nathan is simply saying that he thinks that we have a generation of young people who are electronically oriented, and of course, they have learned that you can't believe everything that you're told in school, you can't believe everything that you read on the internet. They begin to challenge things. They seem to have new means of communication among themselves, and they use techniques that I don't even understand, using these various electronic devices to communicate with one another. But he feels that these people can be mobilized into a force to give peace a deadline. Well, before we go on, Nathan, I want you to get your website out and any other information about your effort and your organization, and certainly our telephone number if you'd like to talk to Nathan, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and go right ahead, Nathan.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. Our website is p5y.org for peace in 5 years. So it's letter P, numeral 5, y as in yes, .org. You can register there for a whole variety of peace activities, a lot of information, videos, blogs, wikis, everything that one would hope to plug into and discover more about how to participate and how to gain the power to create peace in the world. We've written this book, Give Peace a Deadline, What Ordinary People Can Do to Cause World Peace in 5 Years. We've made it available free on the website for a free electronic download, or you can get it in a bookstore, order it in Amazon.com, and reading this book will change your life. You'll have your 5-year plan, you'll have your understanding of the power that you have in the world and how to wield your conversation.
Now, write our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Nathan is an idealist. But then, after all, it's idealists that change the world. And Nathan is dedicated to committing himself to writing a book and to traveling and interviewing people and trying to get the information out. And he can have an influence. So, certainly, if you're skeptical, well, we have to start someplace. And especially when you're facing what we're facing today. And that is the very real possibility. In fact, in my estimation, a probability that before this terrible economic crisis we're witnessing today has come to a conclusion, why we're going to see World War III upon us. And if you think that we sitting here in America will be able to sit as we did during the First and Second World War, completely separated from the horrors that, of course, our troops and our finances and our airplanes and our soldiers were inflicting upon the people of Europe, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think this next war is going to involve every one of us in one way or another. So men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We have to do everything we can to get the information out. And I'm glad to know that Nathan's out there trying to wake up the young people, many of whom probably wouldn't be listening to my programs, but perhaps they'd be listening to him. Would you like to talk about some of these new methods of electronic communication? They're really fascinating to me, and my son understands them. I don't understand them at all. What is this texting that they talk about?
Well, texting is sending short messages from cell phone to cell phone in a form of text that you can read. And another extremely popular way of communication is Facebook. There's more than 130 million people on this what's called social networking website, and it basically connects you to all your friends, and they upload photos and say what they're up to, and it's like a constant sort of stream of communication and chatter related to your social network. There's Twitter, which works on phones and on the internet. It's a way to send very short updates of what one is doing. When I first saw Twitter, I thought, this is weird. Why would anyone do it? And then I got hooked. You can follow people on Twitter and kind of see what they're doing and use it to locate yourself geographically and connect up in physical space. So there's many tools of communication that are widely networked all over the world that can serve this purpose of a deeper purpose, is what I meant to say, of connection and accomplishment of what we all want to help collaboratively create the future that we all want and avoid the picture that you so graphically painted just now of World War III.
And of course, my concern is that the propaganda will be used as it has been repeatedly in the past. I mean, during the First World War, it was a story of, my goodness, those terrible Huns over there in Germany. They're cutting off the hands of little Belgian boys, and who could favor that, and the breasts of Belgian women, and raping the women and killing them. And, you know, and there was not a bit of truth to it, but day after day after day after day after day, because J.P. Morgan and his friends had bought up 25 of the major newspapers and used them for propaganda purposes, the American people came to believe it. And then, of course, with World War II, why, oh, those wicked Japanese who attacked us, but never mentioning the fact we'd put an embargo on Japan, so they couldn't buy oil. They couldn't buy natural resources. They couldn't buy anything in the world. We'd totally embargo them. We had our ships blocking their ships, and they had no alternative. They run out of oil. What happens to their nation? They collapse. And whether you like the Japanese or not, they knew the attack was coming. They left the boys there to be killed to rally the people behind the government. And it's the same story over and over again. I think that if there's alternative means of communication, I think that you're absolutely right. This is one of the most exciting times we've ever lived in, because we can reach these people. We just have to offer them the leadership and the truth. And we have to make sure that your movement is not infiltrated by the enemies of freedom, who will say, yes, oh my goodness, everything you say is true, but, and then of course they'll want to lead you in the other direction. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically now you said you have, or you have or you hope to have, you know, these committees coming up with specific plans.
We have a deadline of the end of this year to have our plans installed on the Internet and making recommendations to our Peace Army, to anyone who signs up to contribute. And having multiple ways to contribute according to one's abilities, We draw these three circles of your activities, your passions, and your skills, and whatever's right in the middle, that's the action that you're most effective at and that you can sustain. So by the end of this year, we will have that available for everyone to act upon. And I wanted to comment, if you don't mind, you know, war always uses clinical distancing and demonizing language. That's like a clue that we can now consciously look for. If that starts to happen, then that can sort of put up our radar of, oh, is someone trying to make a war? It's a violation of peace safety to create an other who is a demon and is worthy of being killed. And what's different today is that, you know, we have these means of recording that we've been using for at least 100 years now, where we can see what those wars of the past were like. We can literally see and hear what happened. So our memory maybe has gotten a little more graphic and hopefully longer. And exactly as you say, what's different today? Transparency and communication. It's impossible to control the information flow anymore, even though you can disrupt it. You've got the mass media if you're trying to keep control of a war. But, you know, a lot of images got out of Gaza that the Israelis didn't want to get out.
And I think, Krista, we see this whole scenario being enacted over and over and over again, because Nathan, I'm probably on the front lines in the media, so, you know, because I can mold opinions, why then, because they besiege me with books and tracks and all sorts of information and DVDs, and so much of this is to demonize Muslims. Now, I don't agree with the Muslim faith, but I mean, most Muslims are not bad people, and we can live in peace in the world with the Muslims, but they're doing everything, in fact, our government is doing everything to get the Muslims to hate us. And, you know, if you'd had a friend, an innocent friend who was tortured in Abu Ghraib, and they did torture people, and most Americans have never known what really went on there. General Tacuba, Major General Tacuba, was told that he was going to investigate Abu Ghraib. He was told if he told the truth about what was going on there, it would end his military career. Well, he had two choices, either to lie or tell the truth. Fortunately, he told the truth. He talked about how they would, you know, use the electric probes on the genitals of these men. They didn't know whether they were guilty or innocent. They just tortured them until they screamed, and some of them went mad, and some of them died. Who was held responsible for that? Well, one sergeant was sent to prison. You were not allowed to know about this sort of things. You're told about waterboarding. You're not told about the electrodes to the genitalia of the men in that grave, and heaven knows what they did to the women over there. And we're responsible because we paid for it, and nobody has been held responsible. And the people who did it are going to get off scot-free, not the average individual. He was just doing what he was told, although they bear responsibility. Because even if you're ordered to do something wrong, you would be better off to deny that order and go to prison than to do something that is morally incorrect. But the people at the very top, they got off scot-free, and they will continue to get off scot-free, because the American people do not know what really happened. They've never read the Taguba report, although it is up in the prison. And Major General Taguba was called after the report was released and ordered to submit his resignation and end his military career. That's what happens to military officers who are honorable today. Tragically, we don't have too many or enough Major General Tagubas. Anyway.
I agree. And those actions you described are simply not representative of us as Americans. They don't represent our ideals or our values, and it's wrong. And it's time for us to make our voice known, the majority of us that want our government to represent us, that don't want to be torturing people and having extraordinary rendition and secret prisons and prison ships and Guantanamo Bay. And we don't want that. It doesn't represent us. And so it's time, you know, even if we have no other reason, even if we don't believe there's going to be World War III, then just insisting that our government represents our values is a big step towards a future in which conflict isn't deadly.
Well, I congratulate you for what you're doing, and for having the willingness to invest your money and your time and your effort in this noble venture. And heaven only knows, maybe it'll have an effect. At least I hope and pray that you do have an effect. Because we need to get the American people to care. That's the biggest thing. And to realize that they are responsible for what's going on today. And, you know, as I said earlier, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And I think we have to take a stand. And every person listening to this program tonight can become involved. And certainly what Nathan's talking about is a noble and worthwhile idea. And as you talk to people, are you doing many radio interviews across America, Nathan?
Yes, I've done 4 today.
All right, fine. What sort of response are you getting?
A varied response, a fair amount of cynicism, quite supportive and thoughtful response like you're giving today. I've gotten people, just hosts and callers, just insisting that we'll always have war because of religion or because of human nature or because of this or that. And really that's just the past intruding on the future. And if we have the courage to create the future that we all want, then we'll survive.
Well, I think that we have to try, and people say, well, it's too late, there's nothing to be done about it, and I say, well, then you might just as well go out and shoot yourself, because you've got a terrible, you've got no hope at all.
Yeah.
But as long as we can speak, as long as we can try, and as long as we have the courage to, as Nathan does, to be willing to say, yeah, I believe that things can change, why, then perhaps, just perhaps they can. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-24-LIBERTY, 1-24-LIBERTY, 888-24-LIBERTY. I start getting 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you agree, if you disagree, I'd like to know what you think. Do you think that there's a possibility the war is coming? I will tell you, it's not a possibility. I believe it's all planned. I believe that everything is in place now, and it's simply when the finances get bad enough, and if they've got enough hatred towards the Muslims, why, even, and of course, what they're doing is targeting the Christian churches here. This is the thing that's really disturbing to me. And within the Christian community, they have their, what I believe is their agent planted, who are doing everything they can to rile the Christians up, because the Christians really are the majority in this country. Between the Protestants and the Catholics, we make up at least 60% of the people. And how they can possibly, you know, get the good people to support something which is inherently evil, Well, they've done it in the past, and I fear they're going to do it again. So, anyway, Nathan, what's the next step as far as you're concerned? You're going to be doing radio interviews for a few weeks. I can tell you that your publicist who contacted us was very polite and very effective. So that's the reason I put you on. You know, I get lots of requests to people want to do radio programs. They've written a book, but I was intrigued, not because I necessarily believe that this is the solution, but I'll tell you, after talking to you, I feel your enthusiasm, and I respect it, and I know that you're approaching this from an idealistic point of view, but what's wrong with idealism? That's been motivating me for 46 years, and we're going to do it as long as God gives us breath.
Well, we're trying to combine it with the practical plan and giving peace a deadline, and what I would really want people to know is that peace is possible, and that it can be achieved in 5 years because change happens quick. And we can build on all the efforts of you and all the peacemakers in the centuries before us to make this change and to move to what's the next level for humanity and to begin to solve our problems with the cooperation that we need. You know, stopping war is like quitting smoking. It's hard, but it happens right away. And I would love for people to leave this program with the sense that, you know, they know peace is possible, they know it has a deadline, and they know they can participate and do something about it.
Well, I believe that there is a deadline, and if we do not educate the American people about the horrors of war, as long as we glorify war, in fact, we have a wonderful article up on my webpage. It was written by the most decorated Marine general of all time, Major General Smedley Butler, and you can go up there and you can read his article. It's called War is a Racket. I've forgotten where it is, but simply go to your internet site and Google in Radio Liberty, War is a Racket, written by a two-star Marine general who, after fighting in dozens of campaigns, came to the conclusion that it had all been for naught. And, of course, that all the servicemen had been exploited. And as he said, you know, you can, of course, get people all involved by giving them all these pretty ribbons that they can wear on their chest and giving them all the awards. But in the final analysis, war is a racket. It's never fought for the reasons that the men who fight and bleed and suffer and die are taught. So all we can do is try to reach people, and I certainly applaud your effort, and I think that, I mean, my feeling, having observed this for many years and studied all the great wars of the past, is that they've all been contrived for entirely different reasons than, of course, the average individual will ever know. And, of course, that's my source of my talk on Iraq, the Untold Story. That's Iraq, the Untold Story, and we recommend that to you very strongly, especially the syllabus that goes with that, that gives you the background of all of the wars and all the people who died and all unnecessary. And, of course, the new war is coming, and the question is, what are you and the listening audience going to do? Well, I think Nathan's got a plan, and certainly it'd be very interesting to see where he's going. And, Nathan, I do hope that you will stay in touch with us and keep us advised as your ideas begin to germinate.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate you having me on the show, and I will definitely keep you advised of our progress.
Now, we've got about 3 more minutes, and I'm going to let you just have some concluding remarks. So we're going to be back here in just a moment then, after the break, to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Nathan, you got...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, As the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
All the things we talk about. I mean, the total disdain of Henry Kissinger for our military, where he calls our military men stupid, dumb animals. That quotation comes from the book The Final Days by Woodward and Bernstein, and we give you the page reference. This is what they really feel. This is what George Bush and Henry Kissinger and the people who really run the world look upon our military as stupid and dumb animals. You need, of course, to get the my article up there. It's on the Internet. It's entitled War is a Racket. And you go to RadioLiberty.com and go down to monthly letters and then scroll down to War is a Racket and pull it down. Or if you don't have access to the Internet, you buy anything else from us, just ask for a copy of that newsletter. That is basically simply the writings of Major General Smedley Butler, who tells about his total disillusionment after fighting so many wars and battles and being wounded so many times and realizing that it was all for naught. It was all phony. And you have to understand that all of the wars have been phony. None of them have been written, fought for the reasons that we've been told. And, of course, the war in Iraq was planned long before by the neocons. And, of course, there were 27 people. We gave you the material from their website. I think there were 27 people there. Half of them came from the Council on Foreign Relations. But most of them ended up in the Bush administration. How did they end up in the Bush administration? Why, they controlled the Bush administration, and they wanted the war in Iraq. And that's why, of course, they staged the attack on the World Trade Center. That's why they brought those buildings down. If you don't believe they did, let me tell you that we've interviewed Jimmy Walters. You can hear my interview on the 911 update 4-tape set. And Jimmy Walters is living in terror and fear over in Europe, trying to hide to save his life because they threatened to kill him and his family. Michael Rupert, who we've interviewed, we don't have a recent interview with him, but I've interviewed him in the past. They tried to poison him, and he's living in seclusion in Canada. Why would they be going after these people who questioned what happened on 911, unless it was something they were trying to conceal? And why, for instance, did the 911 Commission hear testimony from 1,200 people, but only bring 100 of them to the hearings and then seal the testimonies of the remainder for 50 years? Why would they cover that up unless they didn't want the American people to know what really happened? And 3,000 people died that day. In fact, they planned on 6,000. That was what they told us immediately after. Look, remember back there? Remember what they told us? 6,000 people died in the World Trade Center in the attacks, and then it was 5,000, and then it was 4,000, and that it was less than 3,000, but they expected the people that would all die in the South Tower, the people from Morgan Stanley, because they kept putting out of the loudspeaker system to stay in their seats, stay in your seats, or you're ordered to stay in your seats, don't go outside. And of course, the man in charge of security in Morgan Stanley ran up and down the aisles on two floors saying, get out, we're under attack, get out of the tower, that he saved 2,500 lives. They would have perished because they were supposed to perish, and we're dealing with organized evil. And when you recognize that, you can understand why I'm so concerned about the coming Third World War. And that's why you need to help us get the information out. These things are not imaginary. They're real. There really are people out there who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our talk on the Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with it. You need to get our talk on the forbidden secret, because you cannot understand anything unless you understand there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And there's a very important syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix,